If I fall asleep in the middle of this, I have to explain that last night was a romping, rolling activity in my house. My grandson, once a year, has a Halloween party, and it fell upon last night into the wee hours of the morning, like they all ended at 4 o'clock this morning. So needless to say, I probably had about 2 hours sleep. But we had, I guess there was 15 or 20 young people. They had a fog machine. They had lights, colored lights flashing outside, and they had all kinds of lights inside. And, of course, he's got all this sound equipment, and so the house was sort of bouncing up and down. And
left if you wanted to.
And then about midnight, they went outside and did a big bonfire.
Oh, wow.
So it was crazy. At one point, with the fog machine, they had that thing blasting so badly in the basement that the upstairs got filled with smoke, and my smoke alarm went off in the kitchen. I had to open every door in the house upstairs just to get all that stuff out.
That's amazing.
So anyway, it was a fun night for everybody. So I'm sitting there watching my little TV shows in the living room, and you know, I have to keep cranking it up a little higher and a little higher. So it was fun. So we're continuing with the Can We Talk to God by Ernest Holmes, a little book Connie has it over there. And this part is called Law, the Servant of the Word. And the law that we're talking about is called the law of attraction. Some people call it the mental equivalent, or it can be called the law of cause and effect. Or I imagine karma fits under that as well. So we're all basically talking about the same thing. I wanted to read a few bits directly from his book. He says, the subjective law of our being is subject to our conscious use of it. The subjective reactions to thought are not volitional. We are the result of our conscious thought and act, plus our subjective reactions to life, plus the spirit within us. The subjective mind has no self-consciousness, but is intelligently aware of the direction which it receives. It is an effect rather than a cause, a medium or a way rather than a thing or an entity. It has no power of initiation, no self-will or conscious choice. It is a thing to be used, a law which must obey. Subjective mind is the builder of the body, the seat of memory, and the repository of thought and emotion. This inner thought is the medium between thought and its manifestation. Faith set in motion in this medium produces fact and human experience. Our own individual subjective states of thought constitute the medium through which this law works. If we have a true conviction, which is in line with the ultimate harmony, we can create an idea which must clothe itself in a form equal to our mental equivalent of such an idea. We should begin by weeding out all negative states of thought and learn to speak a straight affirmative language. I was just talking with Connie earlier. It seems like the materials that that we read from Ernest Holmes have been simplified when we hear it in some of the more modern translations. For example, I like the Abraham material. It's basically saying the same thing. For me, it's easier to understand. To continue, Ernest Holmes says, to believe that we are continuously guided in our acts by a supreme intelligence is a better state of mind and more productive of good than to believe we are subject to the caprice of fate. Thought should be daily directed and consciously controlled. This simple approach is always the most direct. Believe and it shall be done. Accept and let it be done. Convince the mind and no longer deny the greater possibility. There should be a definite and conscious expectancy. We should feel as though the entire power of the universe were for us and never against us. Mental treatment is neither wishing nor willing. It is an affirmation of the presence, the power, and the willingness of the divine law to specialize itself for us to meet every human need. We are chemists in the laboratory of the infinite. My favorite cartoon, Maxine. She says, nobody knows the trouble I've seen, and nobody knows I caused most of it either. We know she caused it all. All that is, everything that you know or don't know within this magnificent universe is connected and responsive to the powerful law of attraction. Every thought that you offer or every thought that you receive has its own individual vibrational frequency, and by law of attraction will be drawn to that which is seen. From the Science of Mind magazine, life continuously invites us to stretch into expanded realizations and transforming experiences. This can often be accomplished by an immersion in perspectives and approaches that are radically different. I think of this as going from different religions, from one to another, how some of them are just, I know people must feel that when they come for the first time to Science of Mind, it's radically different. This power of exploration must have been what prompted Einstein to declare, never lose a holy curiosity. Mm. And Science of Mind founder Ernest Holmes, himself an avid explorer, charged those who would perpetuate the Science of Mind teachings to always stay open at the top for new revelations of age-old truth. And from the Abraham teachings, only a few very simple points of understanding are necessary for you to have the absolute joyful control of your own life experience. Accept that you are the creator of your own experience. Understand the power and the importance of the thoughts you ponder. Accept your absolute connection to your own inner being, also known as your divine guidance system, or in Science of Mind, the subjective mind. Understand that the emotions you feel are guidance from your inner being. Make a decision that nothing is more important than that you feel good. This is the emotional guidance scale, and I think in psychology they call it the emotional tone scale. And there's so many of these that it actually goes to two pages. I like to draw a line just below contentment to separate the positive aspects from the more negative ones. And at the very top is joy, knowledge, empowerment, freedom, love, and appreciation. And it goes all the way down the tone scale to fear, grief, depression, despair, and powerlessness. That's all the way at the bottom. And what's interesting is to look up the scale and see that jealousy, hatred, and revenge, and anger, and all those things are higher up the scale than fear, grief, and depression. And what we always want to do is to reach for a better feeling and continue up the scale.
Did you put the back?
Yeah, I think Abraham says once you reach hopefulness, that's when you're truly reaching toward moving all the way up into the joy and the empowerment and the freedom. That once you reach that point, you're really on your path. And who do we have here but the most positive, joyful, happy person that I have ever met. And this person just radiates well-being. And Connie, I wanted to thank you for transcribing and sending out all the emails on the Abraham materials from the different workshops. I love getting those, and I always look forward to receiving those emails. There's always such great information. And I wanted to share one that I got recently from Connie. It says, it's really important that the way you feel be your top priority. Not just the way you feel about what others are doing, but the way you feel within the thoughts that you were thinking. You're going to be able to tell the difference between the thought that you were thinking that hinders you and a thought that you were thinking that gives you life and supports you. You're going to get so good at being able to feel the dynamics of the thought when it's active within you that you're going to find yourself wanting to feast your mind on thoughts. These are little succulent plants, and I read something about Esther Hicks with the Abraham group, that she was standing in the garden at Del Mar, California, and she was admiring the different plants, and she saw a succulent that she thought was just the most beautiful plant that she'd ever seen, and she realized that she had been looking at the garden as just looking at it. And suddenly she realized that she was truly, truly looking at it and seeing it with her total being. And the words formed in her mind, I'm feasting on the beauty of this. And when I look at this picture, the pink succulents remind me of a lotus blossom. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if maybe that's the succulent that she might have been thinking was the most beautiful one. And I found this picture, and I don't believe this is a lotus. I think this is probably a water lily. But it radiates such beauty, and I get such a peaceful feeling from this one that it just seems to glow. You can have the most blissful, delightful, delicious physical experience that uplifts beyond your wildest dreams as you just focus upon the beauty that is right here in your experience. And as you see something you are wanting to see, as you see the beautiful butterfly or the wonderful smile of the little child, or as you see the friendship from a friend, as you focus upon what you want to see and you feel yourself feeling good from that, now you are that magnet attracting to you more good things. These are my two babies. Carlos on the left and Sammy on the right. And when I want to feel good and focus on something, just truly, these guys just really do it for me. I tell you, if you look at Sammy, could you ever be more relaxed than that? Unbelievable how these guys just totally relax. And they're always living in the now. They're always looking for new adventures. They're always playing happy and joyful. Or they're sleeping in total, absolute peace. And up until the time they were two, which was earlier this year, they had only been indoor cats. And they'd been happy with that. I had fixed a little porch for them, and that was screened in, and they were fine. This year, they decided that just wasn't enough. They wanted outdoors, and the white one especially. He kept escaping out of every door. Anytime possible, he would be out the door and gone. So earlier this year, I built a cat enclosure for them. It's 40 by 40, and the fence is 7 feet tall with a screening. And so it opened a whole new world of adventure and exploration for them. And there you can see them at the bottom. They're looking at the outdoor kitty through the fence. Outdoor kitty always wants in. Indoor kitty's would like to be out, which is always the case. And I thought, you know, their adventure and exploration, I think that's what we're here for. Is we're here to explore, to have adventures and have fun and feel good. What better example than a cat? Mm-hmm. Who has a better life than a cat?
Particularly your cat.
Of course, now I have a new challenge. Sammy has learned how to go over the 7-foot fence.
Oh.
It took him 7 months, and just last week he learned that he could just go right up that wood and right over the top. So now I've got brackets up already on each one of the upper posts, and I'm having to put a wire around the top so that when he gets up the post, he can't go over. But, you know, who knows what the next challenge will be. There's always something. The black one used to go under, and I fixed that. Now we got to fix the other one. But more exploration, more adventures. And there they are. They're looking through the fence. They're watching my little collection of fowls. And this guy is interesting. This is a little possum that comes, and he sits on the railing. And the first time I saw him, he was out there on the railing with the outdoor cat. And they were both on the railing, and I was concerned that, you know, there would be a war between the possum and the cat. And since then, I have seen the two of them sitting side by side waiting for food.
Aww.
They'll both be on the railing about 5 inches apart or so. And now the possum's got something new. He goes into the fenced-in area where I have my geese, my duck, and my chicken, and he shares food with them.
Oh, wow.
And these were my Easter ducks, two of them. I had six. Surprise, surprise, on Easter Sunday, my grandson presented me with six ducks. I had no place for ducks. I've never had ducks before. I didn't know what to do with them, but they were just, you know, tiny, tiny little things. Well, they were gorgeous, beautiful ducks, and I never clipped their wings, and so when they learned to fly, they used to fly, and they'd circle around the property, and then they'd land again in the yard, and they were fine. Well, late in the summer, they started flying away, and one by one or two by two, they're gone. So I'm hoping that they're with the big birds in the sky and still enjoying life and doing well. But it was kind of sad to see the last couple to go, but they were fun while they were there.
They'll be back in the spring.
So, well, maybe. They're not supposed to be the kind of ducks that migrate, but they may have joined up with ones that do, and so maybe they will migrate. So, a few weeks after my last little ducks left, I came home one day, and lo and behold, in my yard, there's two geese, a chicken, and a duck. These were gifts from my grandson and his fiance. Kind of a strange combination, but there they are. And the chicken and the duck decided that they're best buddies, so they stay together all the time. The chicken started laying eggs, and the possum, you know, takes care of them. You know, they never last until morning, but, you know, she still goes through the motions every day. So they're a lot of fun. My cats love watching them because they're right outside where the cats are. So it's all one big happy family. Now, recently, there's a squirrel that goes in and eats the corn with them and has a blast. And then now there's a flock of blackbirds, and they fly in. And what's interesting is that the geese and the duck and the chicken, they just kind of back off and let all those creatures, you know, they all seem to get along. There's no problem. They just kind of interact with each other. Oh, I skipped one here. So I decided that next year for Easter, I'm going to ask for goats. They can't fly away. I found this wonderful picture. These are called Moroccan goats, and they climb the trees to eat fruit, and they go all the way to the top. It's just amazing. They're really doing that. Yeah. They're called Moroccan tree goats.
eating everything on the ground, it looks like.
One of the books I found this summer that I really enjoy is a book called The Backyard Parables by Margaret Roach. And in that she says, the garden is my temple of fancy. And she also, when asked why she gardens, it's the same reason as mine, because we can't help ourselves. There's just something about it that it just draws us. Just working with plants and the soil and everything, it's just a blast. And this is my favorite card, and I think Connie gave that to me a couple years ago. And I love this card, and it says, if you want to be happy for a short time, get drunk. Happy for a long time, fall in love. Happy forever, take up gardening. This is a perennial garden of one of my customers for landscape design work. I've been working with her this year, re-landscaped her house, and they put in a new garage, and we landscaped all that, did stone work and so on. She has some of the most beautiful perennial beds that I've seen. Her name is Sue. She works for the Sheriff's Department in Warrenton, and so she has a full-time job, and she keeps up her yard, and it's always just absolutely gorgeous. So from the Backyard Parables, Margaret Roach says, the garden feels like an Al-Anon meeting or some other 12-step program where solace can perhaps be found, or at least sought, in sayings. For example, one day at a time. And easy does it. And Margaret says, otherwise you won't be able to walk tomorrow. And then there's first things first. And from the gardening perspective, it means don't plant until you prepare the ground properly. And for us, it's recognition of the spirit within, relaxing, letting go, our meditations, our affirmations. Those are first things first. This too shall pass. And Margaret says, and so will the next flower, and the next one after that. Mm-hmm. And for me, the lesson is don't get stuck in outer appearances. Mm-hmm. And trust that the good that is coming. And I think that's where one of the things that we tend to do is to look at outer appearances and look at, instead of looking at what it is that we want and continuing to focus on thoughts and feelings of getting the good feeling of what it is that we want to have in our life, instead of looking at maybe the negative things that seem to be going on around us. This plant is an interesting one. It's called the butterfly weed. And why it's called a weed, I don't know, because it's gorgeous. And it attracts hummingbirds and butterflies and bees. And it's just a lovely plant. But it's called a weed. And so, continuing with the parables, live and let live. And Margaret says, well, except for weeds and groundhogs. And then act as if. She says, as if you can get this mess completely mowed, weeded, edged, and mulched before you drop dead or snow comes again, whichever one comes first. And our focus is live and let live, is to recognize the spirit within all living creatures, to recognize the sacredness of all life, and to act as if. And that's an act of faith for us. And I found this little one. This is Abraham's garden lore. And I'm not close enough to read that. Felicia, can you read that for me?
As you move through your day, look for more reasons to laugh and more reasons to have fun. When you want to feel good, you do not take things so seriously. And when you do not take things so seriously, you are not as likely to notice the lack of things wanted. And when you are not, and when you are not focusing upon the lack of things wanted, you feel better. And when you feel better, you attract more of what you want. And your life just gets better and better.
Isn't that great? That's from the Abraham book, Money and the Law of Attraction. Once again, from the Backyard Parables, she talks about pruning pared way down, and she defines it as take out the 3 D's anytime they occur, because she says a lot of people have a hard time knowing when to prune their plants. She says when they're dead, damaged, or diseased. That's the easy way. And I thought these might be good to keep in mind in pruning our own thoughts and feelings. In thinking about the thoughts and feelings below the line on the emotional guidance scale. Mm-hmm. So we can do some pruning ourselves. This plant here is a Cleome. And before I get into that, I want to finish with what she was saying. Though the pursuit of horticulture is all about control, asking nature and particularly plants to submit to cultivation at our hands, it's also where everything is totally out of control. Things die when they feel like it. My thoughts are, don't people also? Others self-sow where you didn't place them, outlining and then coloring in pictures prettier than the ones you intended, but for which you can take credit if you desire. Maybe using words like serendipity or happy accident. And this is my Cleome. It's an annual plant that self-seeds. And this has been with me for maybe 5 years. And for some reason, it likes my walkway. And I take it out, most years. And I finally gave up a couple years ago because it just insists that's where it wants to be. So it's a gorgeous plant. You can see all the little babies in there. Continually comes back, and it really likes my walkway. Now there's another plant that's in my yard. Back in, I think it was 2000, I first moved into my house, and I worked briefly at Paralandra, the Nature Spirit Center. And I saw this plant. It's called a chameleon plant, or Houtania. And it was in a bed all by itself, and it gets to be really pretty. It'll have white and pink and red and green all together on it. And I thought, wow, this is a really neat plant. And so I ordered some from a nursery and put it in my yard. Big mistake. This plant is one of those things, sort of like bamboo. Once you get it, you got it. And I have tried for years to clean it out of my beds, but it just, it has these runners that go down about 12 inches, and then they just travel. And when you think it's all gone, then a few months later it pops up over here, and then it pops up over there. Sort of like some of our negative feelings. We think they're gone, and then all of a sudden they come back. And what's interesting is in the Backyard Parables book, I found a big... I guess it was just a paragraph or two on this same plant. She's been fighting it for 15 years, and she's used everything in her power to get rid of this plant, and she can't. So it is a very, very persistent plant, and I like to think of it as an example of, how sometimes we have these persistent command phrases and negative thoughts that, we keep trying to get rid of. And it seems like the more we give them attention, the more they pop up. So one of the things I've learned to do with this plant is just kind of ignore it. And it kind of, I've learned to kind of live with the fact that it's there and I don't pay too much attention to it anymore. And it's interesting because it kind of stays down a bit. Still lets me know it's there. This was also from the Backyard Parables. She says, the day is sunny and clean, But then, as if it heard me harboring a death wish, the daylight is extinguished. The birds go quiet as a storm flies in from nowhere. As quickly as it came, it goes. The bird's chorus resumes. All is well in the world again, and nobody but me seems to hold on to this momentary fright. Why do they call them bird brains when they're so smart and know to forget what is not worth recalling? They don't grasp onto a dark moment any longer than the sky holds on to a particular dark cloud. Oh, if we could be so smart. I found this in the Science of Mind magazine about basically about heaven and hell. It says that heaven is a state of mind, which makes it no less real than if it were a physical destination, just more subjective than objective. Being within us, it travels with us. Saying that we experience it as we become conscious of it puts the ball in our court. We may choose to perceive the here and now differently till it becomes more or less heavenly. This we do by looking for the good and praising it, blessing each other and ourselves, expecting the best for everyone, and suspending the need to criticize and condemn. This sounds lovely, even saintly, and some may call it naive, but in fact it works in healing people and improving situations. It is an ideal and not an impossibly high one. Now, what of heaven's antithesis? Reverse all the loveliness and live in a bitter, angry state, and our lives feel hellish. Most of us have been there, or at least visit from time to time. Heaven and hell are states of mind, and in where our imaginations dwell, we hold the key to each. And this is from the Science of Mind magazine, October of this year, and Reverend Dr. Jesse Jennings. I thought that was apropos. And this is from Abraham's book called The New Beginning 2. This one I discovered this year. I hadn't read before, and I love it. It's really neat. And he says, as you put yourself into your bed each night, acknowledge the existence of your inner being and your connection to it. And lie in your bed for a few minutes before sleeping and bask in the spirit of your own well-being. Your inner being will literally flood you with pure, positive, powerful energy. Set forth your intention to allow the complete refreshment of your physical apparatus, knowing that your inner being will lovingly and intricately align the energies of your physical body. And set forth the intention to awaken refreshed and happy. I think sometimes if we tend to go to sleep with negative thoughts on our mind or something troubling us, we may wake up not feeling the greatest the next day, because I think our subconscious mind tends to work on those things. So preparing ourselves for sleep in that way, I think, is a really beautiful and great idea. And from Rumi, learn to light the candle, rise with the sun, turn away from the cave of your sleeping. That way a thorn expands to a rose. A particular glows with the universal. And this is from Abraham as well. When you awaken in the morning, acknowledge that you have just re-emerged back into the physical, and immediately set forth the clear intent. Today it is my dominant intention to look for that which makes me feel good. For as you feel good, you are in the place of positive attraction. As you feel good, you are in perfect alignment with your broader perspective and greater intent. As you feel good, only that which you consider to be good can come unto you. this was something I learned a lesson from. Right after I moved into my house, I happened to find this. It's called The Insight from the Dalai Lama. And I thought it was just great. And I put it up on my prayer board, and I read it quite often. And it says, "May I become at all times, both now and forever, a protector for those without protection, a guide for those who have lost their way, a ship for those with oceans to cross, a bridge for those with rivers to cross, a sanctuary for those in danger, a lamp for those without light, a place of refuge for those who lack shelter, and a servant to all in need." Well, I just took that down off my board this year because I learned that, my house is a place of refuge, and I think every homeless in dire need person on the planet has knocked on my door. It's interesting how you can set something up like this, and, you know, the lesson for me was be careful what it is you put out there. Make sure you really understand and appreciate in what way are you willing to provide these things. For example, someone who needs a place to stay, there's homeless shelters, you know, that people can be given the phone numbers and or even driven to a place. You know, there's other family members, there's other friends. So this is no longer a part of my repertoire. I have declared my freedom from all of those out there that are looking for a place to stay, a free meal, whatever. So be careful what you wish for, because you might get it. I'm rewriting my own right now.
Awesome.
And I love these little sayings that I get these on Facebook and from the Science of Mind. This one says, "Today I guard all my thoughts, seeing to it that nothing emanates from my consciousness other than that which blesses, builds, and heals." This was another one that I liked, and this one says, "Right here and now, I am guided to experience God's greatest good for my life. Now I am supported. Now I am loved. Now am I the beloved of God. I love my life now. I give thanks for this moment called now." Such beautiful reminders. I found this one. I think this is also from A New Beginning, too. 10 Ideas for a Good Way of Life. First one is seek joy first and foremost. And I think Connie is a good example of that. Seek reasons to laugh. One of the things that I discovered this year was choosing the things that I watch on television. And I came to realize that some of my favorite shows were things like NCIS, Criminal Minds, you know, CSI, and I love the characters and I love the cast. And then I started realizing how many times a day or a week am I seeing people killed, maimed, and whatever, and I quit watching them. And so I've been looking for, you know, like the Hallmark Channel has beautiful movies, you know, about family and love and all kinds of nice things. And then one of my favorites now is The Big Bang Theory. And talk about seek reasons to laugh. I sit there watching television by myself and just laughing my head off. And it's so much nicer than seeing somebody, you know, artificially being killed and all of that. So watching my cats, there are just so many things to laugh about that it's kind of needless to get, you know, involved in things that don't make you feel so good. So the next one is seek reasons to offer words of praise to self and others. I think that's a really important one, because so often it's easy to not do that, especially with ourselves. How many times do we, you know, really give ourselves credit and, you know, speak words of praise of ourselves? I love that one. The next one is seek beauty in nature, beasts, and other humans. Seek reasons to love in every segment of every day. Look for something that brings forth within you a feeling of love. Seek that which uplifts you. That's why we're here. We like being uplifted. Seek opportunity to offer that which uplifts another. Seek a feeling of well-being. Know that your value can only be measured in terms of joy. And acknowledge your absolute freedom to do any of these things or to not do any of these things. For it is, without exception, your choice in every moment of every day. Good words to live by. So with that in mind, let's dance with the rhythm of life and declare, I am one with the infinite rhythm of life which flows through me in love, in harmony, and peace. Bask in the sunshine. When I saw this picture, it reminded me of a time many years ago. I used to backpack in Northern California, and remember we were on a trip up behind Yosemite, and we came upon this wilderness lake, and I can remember standing on this big boulder overlooking the lake, and everything was blue and green, and the sun was shining, and something just moved through me. It was just like this feeling of absolute joy. I mean, it brought tears to my eyes. It was so powerful, and I just stood there and felt that, and you know, to this day, I can remember it, and it's years ago. So those feelings are ones that we, you know, need to feel more and more and remember and relive. And I wondered if any of you have had feelings like that that you'd like to share, any incident that comes to mind.
It would be good to do that in after we take our break.
Well, we could. Yeah, I've got a couple of little...
You're being recorded now, so let's finish the recording. And...
Oh, okay, good. All right, we can do that. All right. Take time to stop and smell the roses. In fact, take time to be the rose in all its beauty and perfection. And wherever you may live, by the mountains or by the water... And whoever you may share your life with. Whatever road you may travel. And whoever your companions may be. At the closing of each day. Smile and remember the spirit within. Know that you are blessed and loved, and that all is well. And so it is.
And so it is.
Thank you, Mary Rose.